Hey guys, how's it going? I'm here with an amazing bass player. Are you local to New York?
I am.
Local to New York, John Ferrara. And you'll have just heard or seen an incredible performance. And it is all John. Well, and his friend over there is playing. He's not playing drums and bass. Like, I don't even know where to start, John, to be fair. Let's start about your playing. How did you actually get into doing what you do, which is just this incredible two-handed tapping?
Well, the tapping kind of came kind of by accident. I used it at first as a tool to write. I was like, all right, I have an idea for a bass line. I have an idea for a melody. I want to kind of manifest it to some extent just to hear what they'll sound like together.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, well, let's see. A bass could, left hand could do something, right hand could do something, and kind of awkwardly stumbling on different techniques over time by doing that.
Like, when did you start doing that technique? When did you first start looking into doing it?
I mean, maybe 7-8 years ago, something like that. And then, you know, it started off, as I said, just more of like as a compositional tool.
Yeah.
And then from doing that for a while, I started developing chops doing it. And I said, okay, well, some of these could be exercises. Let me develop them as exercises. And then I'm a fan of a lot of kinds of music, but classical and jazz are like two of my big, genres that I go to. And so I would kind of try to model it after players that I really liked, like Brad Meldow and Chick Corea. And then on the classical side, I'm a big Bach fan and minimalist composers as well, like Philip Glass and Steve Reich like that. So I was kind of learning a lot of those pieces and, you know, trying the tapping stuff out with those.
Do you play piano?
No.
I was in the control room. I was like, I wonder if he plays piano. I wonder if he's like a ninja piano player and he's just sort of like brought it to the bass.
Not at all. My whole thing has been whatever I wanted, whatever instrument I like, because I can't play anything else, I'll just try to replicate it on the bass as best as I can. I feel like there's so many things that the instrument can do.
Yeah.
So having that outlook has actually helped me to develop some interesting techniques that are kind of fun to play.
Yeah, yeah. Was it the right hand that was the? Is that the kind of the hardest piece of the puzzle to get into? If people have just watched what you've done and you've blown their minds and they want to, you know, they're thinking, yeah, I'm going to give this a shot. Is it the right hand that's the hardest bit to get
in
going to start with? Yeah.
Yeah, in a way, like in the right hand, I don't use my pinky almost ever. These two are strong from fingerstyle playing.
Yeah, so your index and your middle are used, yeah.
Yeah, as you said, like the left hand is, you know, it's used to fretting and everything. Yeah. So the right hand, you need some, you know, need some love.
And are you using your ring finger as well?
Yeah, I use the ring finger a lot, yeah.
And like, what kind of exercises did you start off with when you first got into this? Like, if you're anything like me, you probably devised exercises, you know, to kind of get you where you wanted to go. Like, what kind of stuff did you start with? And what kind of stuff should people start with when they're doing this?
Well, one thing that I did is just taking the pieces that we just did, use a lot of this, just sevenths. So if you take like, right?
Okay.
Just things like that.
You can
find, you know, any permutation of those four notes, just messing around with the different, you know.
So it's just like a major seven chord, yeah.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Play that again a bit slow.
Yeah. And then you can kind of move them through the modes.
Yeah. So that's a minor 7 flat 5,
right,
which is a 7 to the minor. Yeah.
Right, and just kind of keep on going that way.
Okay, okay. And you're doing it like
strings.
Multiple permutations.
Yeah.
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 So you can play like root, third, 5-7, root, 5. Yeah,
three,
sort of like
seven,
mix
yep.
them all up.
Exactly.
And did you practice different patterns based on, like to start with, did you say, for instance, go like root 5, third 7? And then practice that until it kind of like got absorbed in your muscle memory.
Sure.
And then you move to root third, 5-7 and stuff like that until you like got absorbed into your movement of your hands. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot of, you know, like you could write out all the permutations and just look at them and say, okay, here's one. Here's another one. This one's really hard for some reason. This one actually flows off the fingers kind of easily. So let me hang out with that one for a while and see what happens. Part of it's being a little opportunistic too. You know, there are certain positions in certain orders of those notes that flow better than others.
Or
at least, and that might be a subjective thing.
Yeah, yeah.
that's one thing that I find, like, if you find one that really works and resonates with you, explore it. It into, like, if you, like, for me, I'm into a lot of proggy and jazz fusion stuff too. So I like to do a lot of odd time stuff. So I'll see which ones lend itself to 7 easier or lend itself to 5 easier. And
which
stuff like that.
Which sort of like tapping permutations could be in a 7 or a 5.
And another really, kind of a boring exercise, but a really good finger strengthening one is just to take like, the different pairings of your fingers on each hand. Let's say you have like an index finger and a middle finger. Right, and then the same thing over here.
Yeah. Got you. Yeah.
Now that kind of stuff, and then take the next couple.
Oh, so on your right hand, you're using the second and third. Yeah.
And it's just for strengthening.
But how long was it until you kind of felt confident that you could actually make music with it and not just, you know, like scrape through the exercises?
I'd say maybe a couple of years into really taking it seriously, I was at least able to write cool parts with it and put them into songs. Not improvise or anything like that, but I would be able to sit there with an idea, spend as much time as I need to get it out there, and then, you know, okay, that's a cool tapping piece, but nothing outside that, no trying anything crazy or whatever.
Well, the reason I ask is, like, I just think it's really important that students understand the work that's gone into developing something like this, because the easiest thing for a student to do is try and replicate it or try and get into it even, and then like do it for 2 weeks or a month and just be like, oh this isn't for me, I can't do it, and all that. So it's taken you a long time too.
A long time and a lot of hours. So like 2 years means hours every day working on pieces and trying things out, and sometimes trying things out for a while and realizing that it's just not working out.
So it's
a lot of trial and error and paying attention to what works for you and what can be developed more and what things are maybe like just too much for the time being and kind of
sort of like maybe come back to it later or something like that.
Exactly.
And what about the muting? Like, how the heck do you mute it when you're doing all the thing?
Oh,
is it like your hand? Is it your arm or something that's muting the strings? Or?
So it's a little bit of technique. It's like half technique, half cheating with this guy. it depends on the piece. The solo piece that I did before, I just keep that on the whole time.
What are they called again? Fret rap, isn't
it? Groove gear. So, like, for that...
It's instantly super clean, isn't it?
Nothing. But, you know, for the first piece we did, you know, there are times where I need to... So I need the open strings to be there, so I can't use it for that. So there I have to just really depend on keeping my right-hand palm...
Got you.
Against the strings. Right, that whole time, it's like just the fingers moving, the hand is staying put and preventing the other strings that aren't being played from ringing out.
Yeah. I've got to ask you about the bass, man, just because it's got a whammy bar in it, which just, I think I want a whammy bar on my bass.
Yeah.
You're playing a Federa Monarch?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yep.
Bass key.
Got it.
Check. 5-string, high C.
Mm-hmm.
34-inch scale?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, check.
Yeah.
How weird is that? I can tell by looking at it. But it's got a whammy bar on it. So, yeah. And they, did you order it with the whammy bar?
Yeah, when I ordered it, I asked them to put a Kaler bridge on it.
Yeah.
And I mean, they do everything great, and they were just all about it and did it great. It's
Does it go up as well as down?
It does.
It does.
Yeah, it goes.
Amazing. And how, like, does it alter the, do you have to sort of, like, retune if you get a bit Van Halen-y? Does it, like,
it depends on how dive-bomb-y I feel. It's not terrible, but it is the kind of thing where you do have to tune more than if you didn't have one, for sure.
Yeah. And Victor Wooten had one, right?
Yeah, he did.
Amazing.
And I love it, and I use it a lot in this project, and I have another band called Consider the Source, and in that project I use it even more. It's a big part of that, because I do more melodic playing and I kind of use it as
a little
more singy like that.
And
it's kind of, it's at the point now where I've had it on for so long, it's weird for me to play a bass without one.
Really?
Which is kind of bizarre.
You're just used to it being there.
I'm just used to it. I've had this bass for about 6 years now.
Yeah.
And it's my main axe.
It's beautiful.
I'm always using it. So
did you go to music school or anything like that? Did you
I
go
didn't.
Down that route?
I didn't, but I grew up around music. My dad's a guitarist.
Right.
And so I was always watching his work ethic and going to gigs with him. And actually, my schooling was with him on the job. He would get me gigs playing with players who were a lot better than me and were patient with me. And
So it's kind of in your blood, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it always something you were going to do, like being a musician?
From about the time I was 13... So I played for like a month or so, and I was like into it. And then I played guitar a little bit. I was definitely not into that. I was awful at it. And then I switched back to bass because I started listening to, Primus and Victor Wooten and like all the bass dudes at the time.
Yeah.
And from that moment, I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how did you get from Primus to Brad Meldow?
I mean,
you guys watching and listening, Brad Meldow's an incredible jazz pianist.
So growing up with a father who loves classical and jazz and all sorts of
was into it, and he was like, check these guys out, check these guys.
Like, we used to go see Chick Corea all the time. Like, every time he played Blue Note, we would go see him. And just following the thread from that, you're like, okay, well, Chick is cool. Who else is cool? You know, checking out all the other piano players who were cool and all the bass players that played with Chick and, you know.
I was going to say, were you into all, like, John Patitucci?
Oh, yeah, big time.
And, you know, and, like, who else did it for you? Who were your sort of, like, inspirations when you were coming sort of, like, through the ranks?
Well, so when I first started, it was, like, it was the appropriate 13-year-old, you know, which definitely went on into, you know, later
well,
on.
Well, like, let's Claypool and Flea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, you can't not love them.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
And then Victor Wooten, Marcus Miller, Jonas Hellborg was a huge influence.
Yeah.
Such a beast. And then, as I got a little older, I started getting into more, like, weirder stuff, like Square Pusher and... There's actually a bass player from who lives in Astoria. His name is Panayotis Andreou.
I've heard of this guy. Yeah,
unbelievable.
I've not checked him out, but somebody mentioned him the other day. Yeah.
No, he's out of this world. He plays with. Mark Juliana, a group called Now Versus Now.
Yeah.
He does a bunch of other stuff too, New York Gypsy All Stars. But he's another dude that was a big influence.
Yeah.
Because he does a lot of the, kind of odd time worldy stuff too.
So it really fits into what you're doing, especially with, man.
Yeah.
You guys are blooming amazing.
Thanks.
We can't go without mentioning this.
Monstrosity.
Was it a dare? I dare you. There's a lot of pedals going on here. And kind of two sets, isn't there? The first one, let's talk about these Taurus bass pedals.
Mm-hmm.
What are Taurus bass pedals for somebody that has no idea what Taurus bass pedals are?
Well,
like,
I generally describe it as like a, it's like playing an octave of bass with your feet.
With your feet.
Right? So it's MIDI. And so you can get it's a Moog pedal.
Yeah.
And, an actual Moog Taurus is built into it and it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
I had this made for me from an old lighting designer from my bank.
Really?
The source. He's just one of those MacGyver dudes who just knows how to, like,
just sort of like make it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've been wanting one of these forever because I use it on
I love
what
MacGyver,
I consider
the
source's albums. And so I'd always talked about it. I go, wow, but they're so expensive.
Yeah.
So he took the pedals off of an actual Yamaha organ. He didn't tell me he was doing this.
Yeah.
And he took it off and he built a casing and he took the electronics out of a Casio keyboard and just pieced it all together and surprised me with it one day. And I just...
And what is it? Is it like a piano? Is it like C? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, right
it
now
it sounds amazing, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
And if you guys missed it, John was doing the tapping thing while playing this with his foot. Can you just show, like, just, yeah.
Sure.
Give us a blast.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get that down?
A while. I have a lot of respect for drummers.
What are you concentrating on as well when you're doing it? Is this happening automatically and you're concentrating on your feet?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. For that particular bass line, or whatever it's called, whatever it is, that's set. It's a 7 pattern. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
And I ran it a lot and just it's second nature.
Yeah.
So I could actually improvise more with my feet. Because this is just kind of keeping a straight set structure.
Yeah.
So this is where I can have a little bit of more fun.
And do you ever kind of mess around with the settings on the actual, I don't know what you'd actually call it.
The Minotaur.
Yeah.
I do it more in the studio. Seth and I are in the middle of an album right now.
Yeah.
And there's one part where there's like a bunch of loops going on and I'll hit this guy and...
Yeah.
That a little bit.
That sounds amazing.
But when we play live, maybe a little bit in between songs, I'll switch it. But
and what's the volume? Is that just a normal volume pedal? Or?
Yeah, it's just for this.
Oh, so it's the volume pedal for that, so you can swell it in.
Yeah, and these are cool because you can have different expression pedals that are for the filter.
To do
or for,
different things. Yeah, absolutely. So instead of turning that knob that you just did before, you could set an expression pedal to manage that.
Exactly.
Wow. So, moving on to the more normal, but still huge, side of the left-hand side of the pedal board. What have you got on here?
So this is kind of like the pedal that I always keep on and always bring to every single gig. Dark Glass is just unreal. Every single thing they do is just perfection. So this is, I use it to color my tone. I'm a big fan of mid-range.
Oh, so you've always got it on, yeah? So you're using that as a preamp, right?
Yes.
On top of the preamp, almost. So you've got the preamp. Oh, actually, well, we're using this amp today. What do you use?
I use Harkey. They put a new high drive out recently. Yeah.
Wouldn't bypass their preamp. You use their preamp, do you?
I kind of use this one.
Right, okay, so you use the amp out of the Harkey, but you bypass, you go into the back and bypass the preamp, and then use the Dark Glass preamp. Got you.
Yeah, I kind of go back and forth. I'm always changing and trying to decide like what's best. So,
Do you add any crunch on this?
Oh, yeah.
You do use it as a distortion.
Big time.
So it's sort of like a pedal that's doing two things, right? You've got the preamp, and then when you do want it, you can add the distortion in.
Right.
Is that correct? Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool. And then does it just go through here? Is this the chain going down here?
Yeah. Yep.
So the next thing is the Pog.
Yeah, and that I'm a big fan of octopedals, and this one I like because it's so as opposed to the OC3, which is more of like a subby kind of sound.
Yeah. So what does the Pog sound like?
It's more of like a dirty kind of. One of the things that it's famous for is having like that kind of organ sound you can get from it. But honestly, I don't really use it for that. I'll use it for lead tone sometimes.
Yeah.
And for when I really want to get heavy, it's great for that.
Yeah.
But it's just an awesome, very versatile pedal.
It's awesome, yeah. And like it's got these sliders. And what did the sliders actually do? Oh, it says attack.
Yeah.
Got you. So it's just different things on the actual pedal.
It's actually cool. You can use the whole right side of the pedal and not use the octave part really at all and get like really nice, like almost synthy kind of lead tones out of it.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, it's really
cool.
Well,
I've got the little one, but I think it's completely different to that. It's just like a normal octave and you can get the octave up. But in terms of... It's just not as versatile. I'm going to have to check this out. What's this one? What's this? Dunes.
Actually, I just tried that out today.
Oh, really? What is it?
It's a distortion pedal.
Yeah.
And, I use it on 7Zs, on the first tune we did with Seth. And it sounds great.
Let's check it out.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Earthquake Devices, isn't it? Yeah.
A student of mine just let me borrow the Avalanche Run.
They're awesome. Yeah, great pedals.
I was kind of interested in trying some more of their stuff out.
And then you've got two super octaves.
Yeah, so one is, it's the same exact pedal, but one is set to have the distorted sound.
And is that built in, yeah?
Yeah. That's the difference between the OC3 and the OC2. I think the main difference, or one of the main differences, is that this one has the distortion, the drive part.
Yeah.
And then this one is just set for...
the sub.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that OC... You know, the old OC2s, isn't it? Where
exactly. That get rid of your dry signal.
Signature sound that everybody gets.
Yep.
And what are these things here? There's two of these silver. I've never even seen those.
So those are Extant pedals from Hot Tone.
Right.
And pretty much, I describe them as like clone pedals. It's pretty much like you download an app onto your phone.
Yeah.
And then you just upload whatever sound you want.
Really?
So, yeah, I don't even know what I got this one as right now. Some kind of thing.
Yeah.
This one I actually base a song off of.
Oh, that's cool. So these pedals are just like they're all the same.
Yeah.
So there's no distortion. You just buy that actual module and then you decide what pedal that you're going to turn it into.
Exactly.
What are they called?
Extomp.
Extomp. Yeah. That's really fantastic.
Hot Tone is the company.
Yeah.
Hot Tone
Audio. That is really fantastic. And what's the MX there?
So that's a microamp. It's just a boost.
Okay.
It's great. It kind of just keeps your tone where it is and just gives you a little bit more of a...
Absolutely, yeah. And then you've got another X. Is that what? A phase, is it?
Yep, phase 90.
Yeah. That's a great sound, isn't it?
It really is. And it's... You know, despite the fact that I have a lot of pedals, I'm not super knowledgeable about, you know, how to get the sounds I want.
Yeah.
So I like when they're really simple like this one. It's just one knob. It's going to be slow or it's going to be fast. That's it. And it sounds great.
Yeah, it sounds wicked. And then you've got the old Boss Digital Delay. I've actually got that one as well.
Yeah.
It's a great pedal, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah. And then what's the Harkey?
So that's a Harkey chorus. And it's funny because I usually don't like chorus on the bass. It's kind of a cool sound, but it's sort of done to death. Kind of. But I don't know. I really like this one.
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? Yeah. I've actually heard, I can't remember what player it was, but they used a chorus and just cranked everything. It was really cool, actually. It didn't sound anything like chorus because it was just everything was cranked right up.
Yeah,
just like they used that and, what did they use it with? I think it was like with a ring modulator or something like that. Mm. And lastly, we've got a reverb, obviously does what it says in the packet. And what's this green thing? Dual?
Yeah, so that's just another booster. It's kind of got a little bit more dirt than the other one does, than the MXR one. I'm kind of picky, so when I want like a cleaner one, I go to this one. I want a dirty one.
Okay, so you've got two boosts depending on what it is.
Exactly.
And in terms of like the signal chain, like for me, like I'm just a bit useless when it comes to effects pedals. I only ever use like three or four generally, and I just like get my, you know, like I don't know what it's called, but it's, you know, from the bass into one, then into the next one, and into the next one. Is that what you do?
Yeah, I experiment a lot, and I'm not like if a real like pedal dude who's like really into it looked in mine, they'd probably be like, that one should go there, that one should go there.
Yeah, and like, well, then they might be like, oh, and put in the effects loop, and there's a whole different there's lots of ways of actually wiring them up, isn't there?
Yeah, and the way I see it, and this is kind of just the way I guess I am as a person, is like I'll just mess around with it until it sounds good and seems like it's doing what I need it to do, and then.
And then you're leaving it. Then you're leaving as it is.
Yeah.
Well, man, it's been amazing to have you over here and come and hanging out with us in New York. Where can people find you and your duo and the other band that you've got going on? Where should we send them?
JohnFerraramusic.com.
Yeah.
That's where this kind of stuff that we're doing here.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of songs on there right now. We're in the middle of recording more. And my other project is called Consider the Source. And we're on tour all the time. We're hitting the road next week to go down south for a couple of weeks, and then again later on before the summer. So,
awesome, man. Well, what we'll do, guys, is if you're watching this on the site, we'll put all the links below so you can go to John's site. And are you on Instagram and Facebook and stuff like that? We'll link them all below. John, you've been awesome.
Thanks.
Take it easy.
Thanks so much.
Take it easy, guys. Bye.